This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
This should tell us something about Scripture. The Word of God cannot fail. The Word of God cannot be destroyed. Many have tried over the years. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Matthew 24, 35, Jesus says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away."
Do all that you can to soak in the word of God. In today's message from Pastor Dave, he encourages you to study and saturate yourself in the Holy Scriptures. God's word is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God tells us that we desperately need our daily bread from His Word. Pastor Dave urges you to take time to study the Bible and to fellowship with the Lord in prayer during your week. This is what will help you to have a solid foundation that will not be crushed when life's storms come. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he continues his message, A Well-Built Life.
A well-built life will be tested by storms. And the reality is, of course, all lives are going to be tested by storms, but it's important to understand that the well-built ones, those who are built on God's Word, those who are built on Christ, that's no exception. Being built on the right foundation is no exception to the storms that will come. In Jesus' story that he's sharing here, this parable, these men not only have similar houses, but they have similar experience as well, almost an identical experience. Jesus says the same things for each of these houses as to what comes into their experience. It says, "The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house." The wind beat on both the house that was built on the firm foundation and the house that was built on the unstable foundation of sin. Two things we need to understand about the storms of life. First of all, they're inevitable. They're going to come. They're going to come. These two men, again, built very similar houses, but built them on two very different foundations. And the rain fell on both houses. The floods came up on both houses. The winds blew and beat on both houses. So whether you're a true believer with your life built on the foundation of God's Word, or you're a pretender, just going through the motions, hearing the Word, but not putting it into practice, the storms are unavoidable. You can be righteous or wicked. You can be wise or foolish. You can build on the rock or on sand. The storms are going to come. This goes against the false teaching of the prosperity gospel that says if you have enough faith, everything's going to go your way. There's not going to be any financial storms. There's not going to be any health storms. There's not going to be any relational storms. It's all going to be good. But Job, I don't even have to say anymore, but Job. But Job, who certainly understood the storms of life, said this. He said, "Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble." It's a simple fact of life. Storms are going to come. We've been promised that. Jesus promised that storm. He promised that in this world we will have tribulation. But the incredible thing on the end of that is, "But I have overcome." Having faith doesn't prevent the storms. In fact, sometimes the storm is a direct result of our faith in God, of our following after Christ. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "All right, everybody, we're going to go over to the other side. We're going to go across the Sea of Galilee. We're going over to the other side." So they get in the boat and they begin to sail across the Sea of Galilee. Before they reached the other side, they encountered a very literal storm. They were not in this storm because of disobedience. They were not in this storm because of a lack of faith. They were doing exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said his word, he spoke his word, and they obeyed it. They said, "Yes, we're in, we're following you. You say go, we're there." He was even with them on the boat. It wasn't like they left him behind. He was with them on the boat, and yet they found themselves in the midst of a horrendous storm, and they thought they were going to die. Some of you may be in a time of calm right now, but realistically, Let's face it, there's only three possibilities in life right now. We either have come out of a storm fairly recently. You're in the middle of a storm right now, or we're heading towards one. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be today, it may be not be next week, but it will come. Storms will come. And sometimes when those storms hit, it seems absolutely overwhelming. I know it does. It feels absolutely overwhelming. I mean, think about this storm that these two builders experienced, right? The way it's described, again, described very simply and quickly, but it says the rain fell. But this is not, it's not a brief shower. This is not a little like, oh, look, the grass is going to grow. This is a massive downpour because it says that the floods came. This is a torrential downpour. And the hurricane winds are beating against the houses. It doesn't say there's a gentle breeze blowing by. It's beating against the house. This is a horrendously awesome storm. And all of this is hitting at the same time. The rain's coming down. The floods are coming up. The wind is beating against the house. And it can be easy in those times because I'll be willing to bet that a good majority of people in this room right now have been through those kind of storms. And when we go through those storms, it's so easy as everything is just crashing down all around us. It's so easy to think, where is God? But, Father, why have you forsaken me? We can feel alone. But when the rains fall, when the floods come, when the wind blows, Jesus is still in the boat. God is still in complete control. This is not something that slipped through his fingers that he's not holding on to and controlling. And it's not that it has a purpose. God uses the storms to teach us to trust him, to teach us to obey him, to draw us back to where we need to be. As believers, we're strengthened as we're brought through these storms. We're in the midst of it, though. We feel oftentimes that we might go under. We feel like, this is it. Not going to make it. But when he holds us up and he brings us through, we learn trust. We look to him. Because in those times, it's in those times when the floods are rising and the rain is crashing down and the wind is beating against our house, figuratively speaking, that we look up and say, I can't do this. I'm helpless. Save me. I need you. I need you. Before the storms can strengthen us, they first need to expose who we really are. These two houses, again, look very similar. They could very well look identical from the outside. The major difference that there is between them isn't something that we'd be able to see because we're only able to see what's above ground. The only way to really see the difference in the foundation is when they get hit with a major storm. It's the same in our lives. Both of these men heard Jesus' word. Right, from the outside looking in, both of these men seemed to be wise. They probably went to the same church. They probably put money in the offering plate every week, both of them. They probably lived outwardly moral lives, and they claimed to know Christ. They both may have even served in ministry. If you knew both of them, you probably assumed they were both believers. They looked the same. But they were actually very different at a very fundamental level. One was wise, the other was foolish. One was saved, the other was not. One was righteous, the other was wicked. But nobody would know the difference if the storm hadn't hit. We've used the illustration many times before. If I have a cup in my hand, and you come by and bump into me, and let's say coffee spills out onto the floor. Well, the question can be asked, well, why is there coffee on the floor? Well, the common answer is, he bumped into me. That's why there's coffee on the floor. Well, that's not really the right answer. The right answer is there's coffee on the floor because there was coffee in the cup. If I had water in the cup like there is in this cup, then there'd be water on the floor. When you get shaken up, what's inside comes out and is revealed. So when we get shaken up in our life, when the storms come, then what's inside of our hearts spills out for everyone to see. That's why when oftentimes when we may be a relatively self-controlled person and we don't react in anger, people wouldn't see us, but then something hits us unexplainable and we lash out. But we can say, I'm so sorry, that isn't me. It was because of this circumstance. Well, no, that is you. The circumstance just brought it out. And praise God that it did. Because now it can be dealt with. Now God can work on you by the Holy Spirit. It reveals what is true. It can be easy to fool people. It can be easy to fool. You can fool me every day. You can fool your family and friends. You can oftentimes even fool yourself. But when the storm comes, it reveals what you are really made of. When your son is diagnosed with autism, when the doctor tells you you have 6 months to live, when a literal storm like Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans wipes out everything you own, when those kind of squalls come through your life, that's when you begin to see how deep your roots really go. You don't know how real your faith is until you have to trust the Lord in the midst of a storm. Many of you know that my wife and I do have a son who was diagnosed with autism. He's 24 now, but when he was first diagnosed, my roots were revealed to not go very deep. It was a very difficult time, and I handled that particular storm of life very poorly. I saw that my faith at the time was shallow, and it was frankly weak. And God has used our son's issues over the years to teach us and to grow us a tremendous amount over the years, and I praise God for it. My wife's sister and her husband lived in New Orleans when Katrina hit. And they lost everything. Now, in contrast to how I handled my issue, their roots were revealed to be a bit deeper. They lost everything. And they trusted. They said, God has a plan. They trusted. They obeyed. They did what God had them to do. They weren't focused on what they lost. They were focusing on who they served. Someone who is very close to many of us here at Calvary, Jean Bradley, who's a longtime member here. Many of you remember her. And she became aware that her remaining time here on earth was going to be short. She had cancer. She knew that her time was coming. And I learned through her what it means to die well. Her roots went very deep. Her foundation held through the storm. And for all whose life is built on the right foundation, although we're going to face many storms in this life, as we sing here often, He will hold us fast. We will stand firm through the storm. That doesn't mean we're not going to be shaken. It doesn't mean we're not going to be rocked. It doesn't mean that we may not go back on our heels. But because of Him, we will stand. We will stand firm through the storms, and we also, if we have a well-built life built on the right foundation, we will be safe from final disaster. This parable that Jesus shares here in Matthew chapter 7 affirms the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, which teaches that those who have been justified by faith in Christ, those who are truly following Christ, those who have been changed by the gospel, will endure in faith until the end. However, the person whose faith crashes and burns before the end is revealed to have had a fatal flaw from the beginning. Those with true faith will remain no matter how fierce the storms may be. This is really the bottom line of this parable. This is the point. The well-built life, the life that's built on the right foundation, will stand. And that right foundation is if you hear the words of Jesus and obey them. If that is your foundation, then you will stand. If not, your life will eventually fall. Look at the second half of verse 25. As Jesus referring to that house that was built on the rock after the storms hit, it says, it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. The wise man's house stood because it was built on the rock. The fact that it stood had nothing to do with the strength of the builder. Had nothing to do with his own strength. Had nothing to do with even the quality of the materials that were built in the house, although maybe they were good quality materials. But even if they were built with high-quality materials on the wrong foundation, it's still going to tumble. It may have been an expert design. That isn't why it stood. It stood because its foundation was on the rock. This should tell us something about Scripture. The Word of God cannot fail. The Word of God cannot be destroyed. Many have tried over the years. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Matthew 24:35, Jesus says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." God's word cannot fail. The word of God stands forever. And so those who stand on it will be able to endure the storms of life that come their way. Proverbs 10:25 says this, "When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever." What a great verse. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Again, that doesn't mean that you're not going to be rocked by the storms that come into your life. I have been rocked by many. I'm sure you have been rocked by many. There's a book that I recently heard about that I think I'm going to have to add to my to-read list. This is the title of the book. It's by an author named Sam Toler. And it's called, "God Has Never Failed Me, But He Sure Scared Me to Death a Few Times." You may be shaken up. I can pretty much guarantee you will be shaken up. But ultimately, you will stand firm. You will be established forever. This is a story of a shipwreck that happened in a massive storm. The only survivor was a young boy who was swept by the waves to a rock, and he was able to grab onto this rock, and he clung to this rock all night long until a rescue party was able to find him the next morning. "Were you afraid on the rock during the night?" someone asked. "Yes," said the boy. "I trembled all night, but the rock didn't move." That's how it is for all who cling to God's word, for those who build their life on it. The end of verse 27, after the storm hit, it says of the house built on the sand, "It fell, and great was the fall of it." And that's talking about more than just having a bad day. If you don't build your life on God's word, the storms will eventually bring you down. That may include temporal disaster. But even if you come out of the storms of life, these things that come into our lives, the literal storms, the sicknesses, the relational struggles, the whatever it is, financial struggles, even if you come out of those things relatively unscathed, there's still another storm you have to face. D.A. Carson said this. He said, "Indeed, Jesus' teaching says important things about race relations and social justice and personal integrity. But it cannot be fairly reduced to the temporary concerns of my lifetime here. There is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned." The only hope we have for eternal life is to repent of our sins, to run to the cross of Christ for forgiveness, to trust and obey God's word. In the parable that Jesus shares here, there's good news and there's bad news. That's kind of always the way it is, isn't it? There's good news and there's bad news. We always want to hear the bad news first because we want to end on a positive, right? Well, the bad news is that you're the foolish man who built this house on the sand. So am I. All of us have failed to build on the rock. We've all disobeyed God's word. We've all rejected Christ's authority over our lives. We've all done things that we shouldn't do. We've all failed to do things that we knew we should do. We failed to do things that we knew was right. But the word gospel actually means good news. So even though there is bad news, that we all are that builder, there's also some wonderful, great, amazing news. And the good news is that our old house can be demolished. We can build again. We've all disobeyed. But God, by His grace, has provided a way that we can make things right. He makes things right for us through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if we're in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. So if you're here this morning, you recognize that your foundation is really ultimately, when it comes down to it, built on sand. There is hope. You can call out to God, recognizing that you are absolutely powerless to do anything to save yourself. You call out to Him to save you. And then begin the new building project. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Securely fixed on the firm foundation of Christ and His Word. Hear His words. Do them. You know, when it comes down to it, although this is speaking of individual houses, individual lives, we're really not all just building our own individual houses. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. And as we all grow in faith and obedience, and we all begin to actually live out what Jesus commands us to do, then the result is that together we form a beautiful living temple that ultimately we put on display the ultimate goal of all of the Scriptures. We live out what the Bible is all about. And if I'm going to reduce the Bible down to three words, which I really can't do, but if I were to, I can reduce it to one word, actually. Emmanuel, God with us. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in the garden. God walked with them in the garden. What that looked like, I can't even imagine. But somehow, God had a relationship with man in the Garden of Eden. When man sinned, they were cast out. Cast out of God's presence. Cast out of God's temple, which is ultimately what Eden was. It was the place where God and man met. He was cast out of that. And then God meets them again. He meets His people, and He works with Abraham, and then Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob. He meets with them. He then brings Moses and gives His instruction. He has them build a tabernacle, which is the place now, which is now where God meets with man. And then ultimately, through not David, but Solomon builds a temple, a permanent structure. And this is now where God meets with man. And now today, as we now have the Holy Spirit within us, God, we are now the temple. God meets with man right here. And ultimately, that's just a taste, that's a picture, that's a guarantee, right? As the Bible says, that's a guarantee, that's a seal for what we have coming for us, right? The inheritance that we have coming. And that inheritance, ultimately, we are in a new heaven and a new earth where everything, the entire world that we're living on, is God's temple. And we are with Him forever. Now we see through a glass dimly, then face to face. And now as we behold Christ, we're transformed. Imagine, right? We know that when we see Him, we'll be like Him, the Scripture tells us. So now, again, we see a little bit. We see glimpses as we pick through the Scripture, as the Holy Spirit illuminates it to us. We see glimpses of who He is. And we're transformed. And we're transformed. And we're transformed. And then, boom, face to face, we become like Him.
Amen.
It's incredible. It's incredible. We have to start with the right foundation. We have to start with the right foundation. The storms are going to come. But if we have a well-built life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, founded on Christ and His Word, we will stand.
Thanks, Pastor Dave, for opening the Word to us today on Road to Calvary. What powerful words Jesus spoke on the Mount of Beatitudes. If you missed any part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to browse our audio library, we encourage you to visit cbcriverhead.org. Just click the Sermons tab. As you listen today, you may have had some questions that came to mind, or you may just want some clarity on what Pastor Dave covered in today's teaching. If so, please give us a call. We'll do our best to answer your questions, and we'd love to tell you more about the ministry of Road to Calvary. Our phone number is 631-727-4112. We always like to hear how we can be praying for our listeners, so please let us know how we can do that specifically for you when you call. Again, that's 631-727-4112. Before we end our time with you today, we'd like to ask you to commit to praying for the ministry of Road to Calvary. Consider praying for Pastor Dave as he prepares his messages every week and for the team who creates this program. Please also pray for other listeners. Some may be hearing about Jesus for the first time. We're so thankful for your prayers, and we're glad you tuned in today and look forward to next time. Until then, go ahead and read through the scriptures we studied today on your own, and Pastor Dave will have more to share in this Sermon on the Mount series. Next time on Road to Calvary.